Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This November, annual Sherlock's VIP sign-ups receive a free Coco and Eve Super Nourishing Coconut and Fig Hair Mask worth £34.90. Purchase VIP as a gift or sign up yourself for just £5 a month or £50 for the year and join the most exclusive VIP scheme in London. From restaurant openings and discounts at bars and hotels to beauty and wellness offers, Sherlock's partners with London's best venues, suppliers and brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. Visit sherlocksvip.com to find out more.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Ashley Carter, Heather Steele and Pascal Day. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
What did everybody get up to this weekend?
I got rained on 5 times. And my coat just hasn't recovered. It's just when you've got to put a wet coat back on to go back outside.
I did just have to blow dry my trainers that got
really
wet.
Yeah, they're the other things that were soaked as well. Yeah. Just hot, they stink. It's just horrid.
Yeah, my feet are really cold and damp. It's really not nice.
Yeah, they're not great trainers for the weather.
They're not. Porous trainers. aside from the weather, what was everybody do this weekend?
I had an early birthday lunch and some drinks with friends, which was fun.
Where did you go?
We went to Bellinger in Angel for lunch and then just to a little pub in Angel called the Island Queen.
Oh, nice.
Which is usually really good, but the service was terrible. They gave my table away and I was very angry.
Oh,
oh no.
Shout out to them.
Are you feeling birthday ready?
Yeah, I mean, as you get older, I think birthdays become less and less important. Mm. Yeah, it's my birthday tomorrow.
Yay!
Are you working?
Yes.
No.
No holidays left. We are going on holiday soon.
I am. I'm going on holiday on Sunday.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
So
jealous.
Are you still at the point where, like, when you go out with your friends and it's your birthday, that they still buy you, like, birthday shots? Because I'm not over that yet and I hate it.
No shots were had. On
that's
Saturday.
Good.
Actually,
it was the afternoon. So
when you were describing the roster of people earlier who were attending your birthday, it did sound quite like a grown-up affair.
Yeah, it does change quite quickly because that's why I got so angry about them giving my table away because I had booked it. Basically, I was like, there's a heavily pregnant woman coming. There's a woman with a baby in a pram. My mum's coming.
Yeah.
I'm feeling really festive as of this weekend. I was just saying before, like, I love summer. I really do. But I'm like peak happiness at this time in the year.
Me too.
Like, I'm literally just so happy all weekend long. Like, I love the weather. I obviously don't love it when you're busy commuting. But on the weekend when it's pouring with rain, it's just the best thing ever. So I've watched a lot of Christmas movies. I think I'm also feeling
really?
Well,
so
Well, I go away on the 12th of December until Christmas. So actually, I've only got 4 weeks until Christmas holidays start. So I know, I'm actually feeling like I've got the right to really...
So it's less than one.
Festive period.
Which Christmas movies did you watch?
So I started with Serendipity, which...
Oh,
have you
guys
seen it?
Is that a Christmas movie?
Oh my God, it's so festive.
It's all set around Christmas. Yeah, I don't think of it as being festive.
Trust me, it comes up in all the Christmas edits.
Because they do ice skating, don't they, in Times Square?
And they meet in a department store in New York. It's all very, very festive.
I love that film. People don't talk about that film.
I think I've only seen it once when it came out and loved it. And now I'm like, why haven't I seen it since.
Is this John Cusack?
Yes.
Yeah.
John Cusack.
Nothing makes me feel less Christmassy than John Cusack.
No, he's like a 90s rom-com king, even though Serendipity was it wasn't the 90s.
No,
it was
but it
was very 90s.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. Mm. And she looks so young, Kate Beckinsale. Yes. I feel like Aiden from Sex and the City pops up in a bit part in every film.
How did he not make it big?
He's that like weird sitar player.
Well, yeah, he always plays like kind of gap year vibes.
Yeah.
Like he has some gap year beads or like some Rory McCann.
Or like greasy hair. But anyway, it's just so festive and I love that film so much. And then last night I watched Office Christmas Party, which is on Amazon Prime, and I feel like it's quite underrated personally. It's underrated because of its cast. So it's like, you know how like once a year they roll out the Saturday Night Live comedians to like make a film. Yeah. So Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman and Olivia Munn and then the whole Saturday Night Live cast. And it's just, yeah, I mean, it is so stupid. But it's a bit of a laugh and it's quite Christmassy. And
no, that's, I could get on board with that. I'm not a huge Christmas film fan. Or it's not that I don't like them, I just never think to watch them.
Oh, I love them.
But when I go around, me and my girlfriends always do like a big Christmas thing.
Friends
got
Christmas.
It all booked in. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then that's usually when I get my fill of kind of a rotating thing. I saw The Holiday for the first time last year.
Oh, for the first time?
It's the worst. Seen it.
Oh my God, Pascal, what?
No, God, it makes me cringe too hard. It hurts my body.
I liked it. I was into it.
Okay, The Holiday is literally my favourite film. That, not just at Christmas.
Honestly, yes, that life. Bit where Cameron Diaz like sings on her own a dance time, like, I have to leave the room. I can't.
That is very early on.
I can't remember that bit. I think it was a bit
racist. Her and Jude Law are super cringe.
Jude Law in that film is like my dream man.
He's
like,
so beautiful.
He's so pretty in that movie.
Does he wear glasses in it as well?
Yes. Mr. Napkin Head.
Yes. Oh my God. Stop.
Do you like Christmas films?
I do like Christmas films, actually. Every year, me and my boyfriend go and see Muppet's Christmas Carol. At the cinema.
Oh, nice. Like the sing-along version?
No, but all I can find is sing-along versions this year, and I'm like, I really don't want to do it.
They're really popular.
But I think I'll have to if I can't find any others. I'd love to
refilm Pascal's face.
But also, a weird one is every Christmas, me and my sister watch Titanic, and I feel like it's the least Christmassy film. But it's just tradition now.
There's ice and snow.
True.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. It just looks really cold.
I love Elf. I'm sure we'll talk about this more.
That's my favourite.
Elf is my absolute favourite.
That's like Christmas has begun when I've watched Elf.
Yeah. I'm actually saving Elf. Yeah. It's too early for Elf. Really. Yeah. That is like a proper Christmas film.
I like The Grinch, but I'm not keen on the remake look of it.
Well, and this one.
Yeah.
So it's just come out with Benedict Cumberbatch voicing The Grinch, hasn't it? And it had horrible critics reviews, I think like parental reviews are quite positive.
Yeah.
Good for kids, but I shan't be watching.
Anyway, has anyone been watching anything a little bit more highbrow?
I went to the cinema 3 times last week. And again, I think it's just that time of year that, A, it's a bit colder. And then also my Picture House membership runs out in January. And it always, this time of year, I realise I haven't really used it very much. So I'm suddenly like, right.
I was going to say, you made money going to cinema 3 times in 1 week.
There we go. That's appalling. Also, this time of year is when all the good films come out. All the ones I want to watch. I'm not really interested in like summer blockbusters and stuff like that. So.
What have you seen then?
So on Wednesday, I went to go see Red, which was actually just one of those national theatre screenings they do. I really wanted to watch Red when it was out over the summer, but couldn't get tickets. It's about the abstract impressionist Mark Rothko, who's played by Alfred Molina, who's amazing, and his assistant, and the whole thing was set in his painting studio, and it's just the two of them just having this conversation for 90 minutes, which is really, really good.
So the National Theatre do this thing called NT Live, where you can go and see. Yeah. They are screened live, so they're still being shown on stage, or you see past productions. So I've seen Benedict Cumberbatch's Frankenstein.
Oh, amazing.
Subsequently, but also it's not just National Theatre plays, is it? So they have things from the Old Vic and the Young Vic and various other theatres. Yep. So definitely worth catching.
Definitely. So yeah, meant I got to see something I didn't get to see for a lot less money.
Yes. And more comfortable.
Yeah.
I'd way rather sit in a cinema than sit in a theatre.
Because also, when you're at the theatre, you can't cough or do anything. You're just kind of like, I can't make a noise. Whereas at the cinema, it's a bit more like you're not going to put anyone off.
Also, I feel like I would always try and dress relatively nicely to go to the theatre, but for the cinema, I look like full on grunge queen. So, I'm sorry, so what else did you see?
I saw Widows on Friday night.
Oh, how's that?
Yeah, I really liked it. It was good. It was a proper sort of crime caper. So it's got Viola Davis in, Elizabeth Debrick. Ricky,
from The Night Manager.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's got Daniel Kaluuya as well, who was in Get Out. Love it's got Liam Neeson.
And Brian Tyree Henry.
Yep. And it's got Colin Farrell.
He's in Atlanta. He plays Paperboy.
Yeah. He was really good.
Was he?
So yeah, really good cast. And it's Steve McQueen as well, who did 12 Years a Slave.
Mm-hmm. And it's about a group of women.
But essentially, it's called Widows because, this isn't a spoiler, in the first scene, these sort of 4 crime bosses are all on a job and all die. And then,
male crime bosses.
Yes, and then their 4 widows basically still need to pay the debt. They've got no experience whatsoever, but have to kind of come together to do a heist of their own.
Cool.
But yeah, it's very good. It's very violent. There are some, like, very surprisingly, I was hiding behind my hands moments, but yeah.
It was good.
Worth a view.
Definitely worth a watch. And then last night I went to go watch Wildlife, which is the new Kerry Mulligan, Jake Gyllenhaal film. And yeah, again, very different to Widows. It was very slow and a lot shorter.
I mean, it looks beautiful.
It was, yeah, oh, the clothes are amazing.
It's his first film director.
Yeah, so Paul Dano, who, me and Pascal were talking about, we're both big fans. Mm. So he was in War and Peace.
With Miss Sunshine.
Exactly. Yeah. Lots of those older films, but this is his first ever.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. Directing film. She was on Graham Norton on Friday night.
It was beautiful. And also, so it's about this married couple who have moved to this small town. They're both trying to get jobs and they're both kind of drifting a bit. Mm. Like, they don't know where they are in their lives. They want to do different things. Basically, so Jake Gyllenhaal's character goes off to fight these wildfires, which leaves their son, Joe, in sort of like... in charge of the house. But he's the best thing about the film.
So it's told from his perspective, right?
Yeah, it is. So it's Ed Oxenbould is his name. He's Australian. He's done lots of kids' TV in Australia, but it's his first sort of major role, and he's incredible.
Cool.
Like, so it's worth watching just for him. He's definitely going places.
I heard an interview with her talking about it, and she said that her character's received a lot of backlash, that a lot of people are saying that she makes some really questionable decisions.
Yeah,
and there's some kind of morality issues
within it, right? Very cringy moments where I was like, oh, but yeah, no. She plays a really interesting role, like one that's a bit different from one she's done before. So definitely worth watching. A slow watch. It's not like action-packed by any stretch, but...
emotional drama.
Yeah, it's good. Worth watching.
By the way, Graham Norton's movie was so good.
Yeah, it was great.
I literally laughed out loud.
Who else was on there?
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen, who's so funny.
Amazing. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, he looks so old.
He's like, 80 next year.
But then he keeps it a bit reserved for a while, and then he's just like joke after joke. Like, he's just amazing.
And Taron Egerton as well was on it, who is, well, he's in an adaptation of Robin Hood at the moment, but he's also the guy playing Elton John in that Rocket Man. I really liked him, but then he did that thing that I really... really hate, which Tom Hiddleston once did with Robert De Niro on Graham Norton, where they go on their first show and they get a bit cocky and they get a bit excited that they're with their idol, and then they do an impression of them in front of them.
No!
So he did an impression of Michael Bublé to Michael Bublé singing.
I don't think Michael Bublé is his idol.
This is why I don't watch shows like that, because I'm just like, can't handle those kind of moments.
Yeah, yeah, it was
a
bit.
It
was quite cringe.
This girl I went to uni with, she did something with Taron Egerton. It was like a D of E type thing. And she said he was
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
It was some sort of like weird expedition. Okay. And she said he was such a dick.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, he came across as so nice.
He's not.
He's not. Shut down.
Right, okay. Pascal, have you been watching anything?
I watched The Sinner 2 this weekend.
Oh, all of it.
I've got one episode left.
Good?
Yeah, really good.
I'd not seen the first series, but is that not like quite a draining thing to binge on?
The first series, I feel like it was. Mm. It was really like violent. But the second season is still violent. But, like, not as bad.
It's moderately violent.
And how is it? So Jessica Biel isn't in this series, right?
No. It's not really anyone famous.
Series one.
Yeah. So it's about the detective from the first series.
Yeah,
right?
The dad from Casper.
Oh, wow. I used to fancy him when I was
little. My God, you still fancy him now. He's so hot.
Pascal, are you joking? You mean the guy, the detective?
Yeah.
He's like 105 years old. You do not fancy him.
I did.
How can you not be attracted to Jude Law on the holiday when you fancy that old man from The Sinner?
I don't know. Maybe I just like men with problems.
Mm. I'm going to have to Google image him when I leave.
Oh, he's just like... you know he's damaged, but...
You're like one of those people that writes to, like, serial killers in prison.
I can fix you.
Yeah, he's fit, that guy.
Yeah, Bill Pullman.
Anyway, so it's a good series?
Yes. I'm looking forward to seeing the last episode. Mm. I think it'll be good.
What is it actually about? Sorry, this series.
Oh, I don't know how to say it without, like, spoiling
it. Is it about a missing boy or something?
It's about this little boy, and I don't really know if I can say what he did. He did something bad.
Okay.
And then it's, like, trying to solve what he did and why he did it. Basically, like, the first series, but just with a little boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have to have watched the first series to get it?
No.
Okay,
no.
I see.
And then I watched... what else did I watch? Oh, it's Dynasties, which was really good. Did anyone else watch it?
I was at the cinema, but I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's like, Monday night viewing for me.
Yeah, it's like this chimpanzee called David.
My friend was messaging me about it. Anyone else watching it? I'm in love with this chimp called David.
Why? What does David do?
Oh, he's like the head of the chimpanzees and like he gets in this really big fight and then he almost dies. But I did kind of think, like, I was watching it and these chimps, there was one who was trying to assert his power and all he did was like threw some shit at a tree or something and all these chimps went fucking mental. I was like, these chimpanzees fucking love the drama.
That's why I used to really like chimpanzees, but then I kept reading about in America when they kept ripping people's faces off.
I think that's because they were like held in captivity.
But the fact they have the power to rip a face off has made me
Bubbles rip someone's face off?
Yeah, Bubbles did something bad.
Bubbles did something bad.
Naughty Bubbles.
Maybe. I remember there's a story of something where he... I don't know if he ripped someone's face off, but he definitely...
Tips monkey do something bad as well?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah, but he just went fucking crazy. And it was like, you're going over the top. Like
disproportionate reaction.
Let's calm down.
Okay. But this is a new David Attenborough series, isn't it?
Yeah.
And presumably it's informative as well as dramatic.
Yeah, I'd
say
so. Do you
see David as well? As in not the
chimp? You see him at the beginning.
David the human, not David.
And he's like riding in an open top Jeep.
Oh, David.
Yeah, he's great. Great. Well, that is on BBC every Sunday night for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
So the Prince of Wales has just turned 70. And last week, the BBC aired a documentary celebrating his life and achievements. Pascal and Heather, you guys watched this. Any good?
Yeah, it was really good, actually.
It was really good. I was shocked. Not shocked, but, like, I loved it a lot more than I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know much about Prince Charles, to be honest. And it was just really, like, informative. And I always thought he was really stuffy. But, I mean, he is. But he was quite funny as well.
Yeah, I think he came across so well. Really kind and funny. And I've always known he's done lots of stuff for charity. But I think you just really do see how passionate he is about climate change. And he was talking in Parliament about getting rid of plastics in 1970. And everyone thought he was nuts.
Yeah, it was like a bit of a kind of national joke back then. Like, it was very quite progressive of him to be talking about stuff like that.
And everyone's always like, oh, get back in your box, this isn't, you know, your remit. But yeah, I think it's great that he's done all of that.
But he has said that when he becomes king, he will stop being outspoken and withdraw from meddling, as he described it.
My favourite part, so Pascal wrote a piece about the documentary, and my favourite thing from it was that he runs his car on wine.
Yeah.
I thought that too.
So funny.
Pascal, what was your favourite thing that came out of the documentary?
I really like the bit where he does an impression of a turkey.
Was a great
bit. Have you seen that bit yet?
Yes, yes.
He's just like such a granddad. Like, he's the cutest thing. I don't know, it was just nice to hear like William and Harry talk about him. And you know, when people say, oh, the royal wedding costs us so much and they don't do anything, they do so much. Yeah. Like Harry was saying about how Charles has his dinner and then he just goes and works and he just falls asleep at his desk. He just works really, really hard, and that kind of showed that he does work really hard. And also, I just think it must be so hard to have the energy to go and see so many people and just think of something new to say to every person.
And to look, to come across as interesting every single thing that you go through.
And some people are crazy, let's be honest. Like,
they were
still
in the show, some of them were like very enthusiastic. Yeah.
I met Prince Charles once. He came to my school. The lady who was headmistress of my school when I was still there was heavily involved with the Prince's Trust. So he came to visit the school. He arrived via helicopter, landed on the sports pitches.
How exciting.
I have never met anyone so incredibly charismatic and engaging. Yeah, seriously, like the warmth completely radiates off him. And I don't know if with the royals that's something that they learn how to do, or if it comes naturally to them. I'm sure some of them are better at it than others. But he is so incredibly engaging. And obviously you only speak to him for like 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. But it's like meeting kind of a deity almost, the warmth and loveliness and interest, like real genuine interest. I mean, he was meeting a lineup of like 15-year-old girls. It really can't have been very interesting. Yeah, I think we had to show him a lot of D of E stuff. But yeah, really, really nice guy.
Yeah, he comes across well. It's worth a watch, I think.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, unless you've been living under a rock, chances are you know it was the Victoria's Secret fashion show last week. This is the annual parade of some of the world's hottest models in lingerie, and it sends Instagram into an even greater frenzy every year. Rosie wrote a piece entitled, "Can You Be a Feminist and Watch the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show?" What do you guys think?
Definitely. If you feel like empowered wearing that kind of underwear, that's fine.
What about seeing other women wearing that underwear?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Sorry, I don't mean... that's not what I mean.
Sorry.
Easy on the eye.
Yeah, they're quite fit. I mean, being a feminist doesn't mean you can't buy nice underwear, but it's the kind of the parading of a load of very thin women walking down the runway. Can you be a feminist and enjoy that?
Yeah, I think you can be a feminist and enjoy it, but I think there's obviously some real issues with it, like the fact that like there's no plus size people in there. I think that's really bad. And also, I can't remember what the guy is called that owns it, but
Ed Rozek.
Yeah, he said some really questionable things about transgender models. I can't remember exactly what he said, but basically he was like, it's a fantasy, that's why we don't have transgender people in it. I think that's really offensive. I don't think there's any problem with the concept of the Victoria's Secret show, but I think they need to get into the 21st century and just, like, update it, because that is bad.
I'm on the same page as you. Like, yeah, it's great for women to feel empowered, and that's what they always go on about. And some of the models have come out, particularly this year, saying, you know, I've never felt more empowered than when I'm doing the Victoria's Secret show. But, I mean, the majority of these models have probably had quite a lot of plastic surgery. They don't represent real women at all. They've kind of trained gruellingly for 9 months to look a certain way. They're highly sexualized. I just think it's quite distasteful. And also the clothes are disgusting.
That's
I'm all for like nice lingerie, but like they're so rank.
And also like I don't think you can buy them. Like, you can't buy these massive wings, so what's the point?
And those crystal bras look so uncomfortable.
Also, we were in the office looking at the pictures when they first came out. And who's the one that were like hung up her wings this year?
Adriana Lima.
Yeah, Adriana Lima. I mean, the most incredible body ever, but she's actually like a little bit bigger and less toned than the majority of those girls.
That's because she's so much older than
so
many
and I think she's had children. But I mean, the
like banging bod.
Bod, like amazing. But that's kind of how skewed the Victoria's Secret show makes us. Like, I was even picking out like how different she looked. From the rest,
and
absolutely amazing. Like, I just think it's a really dangerous kind of territory.
Yeah, this is what Rosie was saying to me the other day. She was asking me about what I thought about it, and I was saying, I think they need more plus size people. She's like, I know it, she's not plus size, but they've got Barbara Palvin this year, and she's bigger. And I googled her, and I was like, I literally can't tell the difference between her and the other girls, but somehow she's the bigger model.
Yeah, I have to say, I feel more extreme about it than both of you. I actually do think there's a massive issue with it. Like, it's all very well that people who look like Kendall and Bella and Gigi are empowered by this show, but I think for the majority of people looking at it, I don't feel empowered looking at them doing it. It just makes me feel a little bit shit about the way I look. Not terribly, because thankfully I'm an adult, but if I was, I can't say if I was 15, 16, 17, how I would feel looking at it. I had this conversation with my family yesterday, and some of the men in my family were like, but how is it different? It's just advertising. How's it different to Beckham in his underwear or Ronaldo? This isn't a women's only issue. David Gandy was the only example they gave of a male model, someone whose primary role is to be a model. And I think that within the male world, the people who are kind of poster boys are generally people to be admired for various different skill sets as well. So Federer or, you know, whoever it is, they're often sports personalities and they have another skill set. Parading a bunch of women who, and I'm not saying they don't have their own skills or whatever, but you know, primarily they are models. So all you're teaching girls to aspire to is to look like that, and I just don't see who that's a powerful message for. I think there are so many better ways to empower people, particularly in 2018. Like, I hate it when people bring everything back to Me Too. I don't think everything has to relate to that, but it seems like, you know, in this age where we are supposed to be a bit more enlightened and not just kind of looking at women as completely one-dimensional, this just seems like a really dated way to be selling a brand and to be creating a stir, personally.
The thing is, with underwear as well, the idea is that if it fits properly, you should look good in it. So yeah, why not get lots of sports women, if they wanted to do it and just create underwear that fits and suits them, and they'd look amazing as well. I don't know, I've read so much before about the regimes that these women put themselves through in order to just do this one show a year, and it's really upsetting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all models do that, but it sounds like for a majority that is what they do. You know, don't eat for days beforehand. It's
and like if
worrying.
That's what they want to do, that's fine. And my concern isn't about the models or the people involved in the show, it's about the way it's perceived by the rest of the world. And also now these people are such big Instagram stars as well, so they have so much influence and so much power. I mean, there must be hundreds of millions of followers between the women walking in that show, and that's a really dangerous message to be pushing out, I think. Also, I really think that there needs to be more role models who can be like, yes, you can be into your looks and you can, but you can also be serious. Like, I always felt when I was growing up there was nobody who was like, you can be interested in fashion but you can also be a serious person who can like reading or whatever as well. And I feel like these people have a platform to be all of those things and to say you should be interested in this and this and this, and it's still fine to care about the way you look. But something like the Victoria's Secret show only focuses on how you should look. Let's talk about the new leading man in Hollywood. I could introduce this, but Pascal, you actually wrote this piece, and I feel like this was something of a passion piece for you. So do you want to tell us what it was about?
Yeah, I just feel like maybe it was a thinly veiled love letter to Timothy Chalamet. Yeah, I just think there's been like a real change in Hollywood all around for the better recently. And I think that Timothy Chalamet is kind of the start of that. Like, I wrote about Adam Driver in here. I recently read an interview on Vulture with him, which I thought was really interesting. Because he was like, when Girls came out, I did kind of feel like this is like a leading man that we haven't seen before. He was kind of aggressive, like weird looking, weird personality. And I thought it was really interesting and I was really into it. But then as soon as like Me Too happened and then we started getting these new leading men like Timothy Chalamet and like Noah Centineo, it kind of made me realise it represented a kind of person, a kind of man. But it's just not what we need now. And I think that someone like Timothy Chalamet is what we need now.
So that's what? That's a departure from the kind of typical macho man and somebody a bit more...
Yeah, like when you go back and watch stuff like... My prime example is like She's All That. Like I love that film.
Yeah.
But Freddie Prinze Jr. is a dick.
Yeah, he is
like
a
real dick. And there's this thing in like 90s films where it's like the girl can't be attractive unless she's had a makeover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the guys is quite like jockey mentality.
Yeah, it's so shallow.
Yeah, it's that thing of like taking your glasses off and it's like, oh my god.
Big reveal.
Yeah, like she has eyes.
So now there's been a shift and you cited Timothée Chalamet in Call Me By Your Name specifically as a shift.
He's in this new film called Beautiful Boy as well, which I haven't actually seen.
With
but
Steve Carell.
Yeah, but just like these kind of men that are kind of insecure and flawed. Like, you never used to see men that were insecure and, you know, that could love in any different way. Like, it could be a man or a woman or anything. And I think that's really nice.
That's what I love about Adam Driver. Like, I'm obsessed with him. He's definitely, like, my favourite.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was dead excited when he was confirmed for Star Wars. But, yeah, I like kind of weirder, or not weird looking, because that's offensive to him, but just, like, not typically, stereotypically good looking.
Yeah, he's not, like, a handsome Hollywood guy.
No, not at all.
Is he?
For me, anyway, he's got dark eyes, floppy hair, a big nose, really tall.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, for me, he's, like... the ideal.
But it's not just about looks,
is it? It's the roles that he plays. I really liked his character in Girls, especially at the end anyway, because there was that whole kind of trajectory.
Yeah.
And he ended up being good, even though at the beginning you were like, what a dick. And
his personality kind of mirrors the people that he plays sometimes. He's got a real intensity about him. And it's like, with Timothée Chalamet, everyone says he's like the most polite person and that he's just a really nice person. And then... with Noah Centineo, he's playing these really sensitive jock guys, and then you read every interview of him and he's just like, oh my god, I just love.
You know what, I really fancied him in a movie and I looked him up and he's like 17. It's
he's very young.
When I saw the picture that went out in the story, I was like, ooh, he looks like a child.
He's in a couple of Netflix films. He's been propelled to stardom with All the Boys I've Loved Before and Sierra Burgess, The Loser. I know he is sensitive in those films, but it's still kind of
it feels typical rom-com to me. He's not so breaking of the mold. I think we're long past that kind of.
Is
90s.
He a bit Zac Efron-y? Like, so in the middle, Zac Efron, yeah.
Totally. Like, I don't really think sweet. He is Zac Efron-y. I feel like he's like a lot more. He's supposed to be more intelligent, and he doesn't do dickish things. Obviously, he's not groundbreaking.
Yeah, because they also like get quite raunchy in a hot tub, and then in Sierra Burgess, I know he's supposed to be intelligent, but like he. Basically, one girl's like pretending to be another girl, and he falls for it. And the other girl's like hidden
that
under the
movie
car.
Is just, I mean, messed up. The I whole every right. single like thing in that film is just like, oh, this isn't right.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not okay. And also, it is. It's like the ugly girl wins. Yay! And like, yeah, it's a bit patronizing.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, oh well, you catfish me for a few months and pretended that you were a deaf person, but I'm into it.
Film is this? I
know
it's
so weird. I definitely recommend All the Wars I Loved Before much more than the Sierra Burgess one.
He's really fanciable.
Yeah, sorry, I never feel like I'm just taking this deep chat to like a really.
I can see why young girls like him.
I'm not that young.
I do. I don't know if it, I haven't seen this one of the films he's been in, but I do feel like there is like a place for that slightly offbeat leading man in Hollywood. Like,
I think younger girls need that.
But even older, like, remember when Adrian Brody came out? I think it was when he did The yeah. Pianist. Mm. And everyone was like, who is this guy?
He's
like,
sexy.
So sexy, but like crooked nose, weird face, but he's like massively into hip hop mm-hmm. and black culture. Like, he was just so different cool. to everyone yeah. and really mm. cool, different to anyone you've kind of ever seen on screen before.
Even like Ryan Gosling isn't that good looking. Like, again, I was yeah. having this yeah. conversation with. It was kind of part of that Victoria's Secret conversation with my family, and one of the men again was saying, oh, you know, if you look at Hollywood, like, no one wants to watch unattractive people. It's all, look at Leonardo DiCaprio and look at Brad Pitt. And I was like, no, but those are people who got famous 25 years ago, yeah. and the people who are getting famous now aren't mm-hmm. actually that, like, stereotypically good yeah. looking. So, like, even Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born, like, she's not a kind of typical looking Hollywood mm-hmm. actress, mm-hmm. but that makes it more modern in a way.
Yeah, more
also,
interesting.
Yeah. Like, on the flip side, I kind of feel sorry for Brad Pitt because I think he's much better actor than people think he is. Yeah, they just think he's, like, famous because he's Brad Pitt. Like, yeah. that they're saying, like, oh, he's no Brad Pitt.
Yeah. yeah.
Like, everything is based on his look.
Yeah.
So true.
But, like, in Fight Club, yeah. Seven, like, there's yeah. some amazing films that he yeah. did.
Talented guy.
There is this amazing interview that Timothée Chalamet and Armie Hammer did with this French TV show because Timothée Chalamet is, like, half French, so he speaks fluent French. Armie Hammer's got like his thing in that translates what they're saying, and Timothée Chalamet is going on and on about how in one scene Armie Hammer's shorts were so short that you could see his testicles like hanging out the side of the shorts, and he's like, yeah, they were just so long, like we had to just edit them out with CGI. And as soon as like it starts coming through on the translator, he's like, whoa. Now it's time to stop talking.
Yeah, like 15 seconds behind. Like.
Yeah.
You know, they've confirmed they're making a sequel of that yes. film.
I don't think they should.
I don't think they should either. I think it's like this really perfect thing.
Hollywood just can't leave anything alone. You know, and that drives me mad.
No, and Dakota Johnson's attached to it, and that makes me nervous.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm not sure about that.
So one of the best things about our jobs is that when you want a question answered or when you want to do a bit of research about something, you can call it work because you can turn it into a story. So I asked Pascal, I didn't even do this myself, I asked Pascal to write a piece on everything you need to know about getting a dog because I just have a lot of questions that need to be answered. And you did, thanks so much. This is really informative.
I delivered.
You did deliver. So you covered everything from what you should look for when you're finding a breeder, the warning signs to look out for, what to know if you're adopting, and also what to have at home in preparation for the dog, and also the cost. What was the most surprising thing you found out about the process of buying a dog when writing this piece?
Just how much goes into, like, if you're getting a dog from a breeder, like, all the things you need to know and ask. Mm-hmm. There's so much, and you could just be like, from what they told me, it just sounds like there's so much you could be fobbed off on. Mm-hmm. I think that's crazy. And also, obviously, how much a dog costs is mental.
So what was the big end number?
I think for large dogs, it was between like 12,000 and 17,000 over their lifetime.
Wow.
Which is, that's like having a baby.
Yeah, I reckon babies probably end up costing more money than that. So going back to the buying from a breeder, what do you think were the most pertinent questions that you should ask? You spoke to some experts about this, didn't you?
You know, asking to see their mum is something that I would never think of.
And yeah, you always have to see them with the mother.
Yeah, because they were saying, like, it could be that the mother they put it with isn't actually their mother, but they're just making the puppies look better with like a calmer mother or whatever. Like checking how many like litters the mother's had, that kind of thing. It's just like, that is just something that I would never think to ask.
Mm-hmm. Astrid, you are a resident dog lover.
Am I?
Yeah,
my official.
Are you tempted to take the plunge?
I have wanted a dog forever, but I just don't think I'm in the right place at the moment, money wise. You know, I go on holiday when I want to.
Big responsibility, like, it is.
We're very lucky here. We can actually bring dogs into the office. Not that Georgie brings her dog in.
I know.
I miss Mouse. I come back.
But even like the commute, like I live really far away, like North London, and I just don't think it would be fair to bring a dog like on the tube every day and back again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely going to be a dog somewhere down the line. But I think I would just go to the animal shelter and get one.
Yeah.
But there are risks associated with that as well, aren't there?
They are, but then at least, like, they've got amazing people looking after them and, you know, they've all been vetted and stuff before they've had all their jabs. So they're not going to hand over, like, a sick dog or a really bad dog. And I think they really make the effort to home dogs into places that would fit them and their personalities and stuff. So, yeah, I'm all for that.
Very true. Heather?
Yeah, same as Astrid, basically. I want one more than anything, but it's just circumstances. Mm-hmm. But I think eventually, hopefully soon... Definitely. I always torture myself by looking on the Sussex Greyhound retired dog.
Is that what you want? A Greyhound?
That's
what
I want.
Really?
Or a little whippet.
A whippet. I think I prefer greyhounds or lurchers, like the really scruffy looking
pointy
ones.
Face. It has to have a pointy
face. Oh, I'm not into a pointy face. Yeah, me and Pascal are like,
I just don't like dogs anyway.
You don't like dogs? I'm really sorry about this piece.
I know. I'm like, I've been bitten by so many dogs. I'm just like, yeah.
Wow. What do you do to them?
Yeah,
that's weird. What do they do to me? I've been like properly attacked by a German Shepherd. The woman who owned it, like, I'd always said, like, can you keep the dog inside? Because I just like, I don't like dogs anyway. And she let him out when I'd said that I didn't want him to be in the garden, and he just went straight for me. And then she came round. I obviously went home with my mum. She came round my house and she told my mum that the dog was crying and it was my fault. Whoa. And I was like,
crazy dog lady.
Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? So I don't really like going near dogs. And like, my boyfriend's mum has this dog. She's so attached to it and it annoys me how much she's attached to it. So that puts me off dogs a little bit.
What sort of dog's that one?
A Bichon.
Oh yeah, Bichon.
Yeah, he's a bit fluffy for me.
Yeah, his name's Murray and he's like shit. So me and my boyfriend went to Sainsbury's like last year. And there was like...
Sounds great.
True story. And when we came out, there was like this dog, this golden retriever, and it was like
the
tied up.
Dopiest
dog. Yeah, right. I was like, oh no, there's a golden retriever. And I don't know why. I just was like, I'm going to go and touch it. Something that I never do. So I went over to it. I touched it with one hand, and like, obviously, I'm never around dogs, so I don't know the signs not to touch a dog. But it's like, tail was down and his ears were like down. And I touched him with one hand, he was fine. Went to touch both his ears and like rub his head, and he just bit me on my wrist.
Oh,
like, you can't really see it anymore, but I had like a scar that went across here.
Wow. Have you got a tattoo?
Yeah. He kind of like bit me on the end of my
that
tattoo.
Could have been bad.
Yeah. And I just was not expecting it. I was like,
that's scary.
Yeah. I was like, you're supposed to be like the nice one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I just was in shock and I was just like walking away. I was like, why? Like, and then I had to go to hospital and have like a tetanus. Is it a tetanus you get?
Yeah.
And my biggest fear is injections. So it's the first time like my boyfriend had seen me that scared. Like, I literally shot out of my chair and like ran across the room and I was like, I'll just die.
Like, I'll take the tetanus.
Just cut it off at some point. It's fine. And then it was really embarrassing because, so I put my arm out like this, and my tattoo is a, I don't even know what it is.
It's a treble hair.
And I put my arm out and they were looking at it and they were like, oh, are you a musician? And I was like, no, I just make really bad decisions. Like, I don't know what this is. I couldn't give a shit about music. It was like an accident from 10 years ago.
You got it 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like an idiot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have already said it.
Yeah, too scared to get another one because this was such a big mistake.
Yeah, it's safe. Maybe you don't.
So the whole day was just traumatic. And it was like a really nice sunny day and I was just sat in the hospital. I just think I've come to terms with the fact that we just don't like each other. It's like a mutual mutual dislike. I went to Sainsbury's again yesterday and there was a dog outside and he was like wagging his tail when these kids went in, and then I walk past and we make an eye contact and he's like, his tail was just down. I'm like, what's your problem?
You're staring him out.
Yeah, I was, yeah, like,
maybe you just give off bad dog vibes.
Yeah,
I think they just like, they just know. Mm. They don't like them. So yeah, no dogs for me.
In summary.
I can't believe you wrote that whole piece.
I know.
I know. I'm really sorry. You can't say no.
Is that why at the end you're like, they're just dead expensive, so don't bother?
Well, I am desperate for a dog. So as soon as the wedding's out of the way.
Like a little one or a big one?
Little. Yeah. My parents have a big one and like, they're mad. No way. In order to fit in with my lifestyle, it would have to be small.
What sort of dog? Sorry,
I really love Cavapoos.
Oh, like, they are
really
cute.
Love Cavapoos. I know, so I think I've got some negotiating to do with Georgie because I want a dog next year. Okay, let's finish by talking about some fashion. We wrote a piece on 5 ways to wear vinyl because it's pretty much replacing leather at the moment as the cool fabric. I think I wrote that and I was like, no, that is crap. Whatever. It's basically like leather, but a little bit cooler. Astrid, I feel like you're a vinyl girl.
I love a bit of vinyl. I don't actually have anything that is vinyl.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
I think
either.
I've had a vinyl skirt before. Anyway, I love it. Last winter, I tried on some really cool vinyl trousers from Topshop, but they just make noises.
Like they'd be really squeaky.
Yeah,
really squeaky.
So,
but they are easy to clean. So that is the that's like
wipe clean. Yeah,
yeah, that
always
is
always a bonus.
Do you guys dabble in vinyl ever?
Yeah, I think it looks awesome, but again, I don't have anything myself. But yeah, maybe a vinyl skirt or something.
Yeah,
I'd be very tempted by one.
I love a vinyl jacket as well.
Yeah,
like a vinyl coat.
Yeah, cool. That one you had on the rail a few weeks ago was really
cool. The Topshop one was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, and I also bought that ASOS one, which did get returned because I don't really need to spend £100 on a vinyl coat. Well, a vinyl tartan coat.
Ooh, that sounds
but
good.
It was really cool.
Really
do they not
really
look
cool.
a bit Blade Runner?
Yes.
Don't go too
long. Can you wear vinyl
long.
With vinyl on? No, that's a no-no.
It's quite a look. I probably
don't wear it with those tiny sunglasses either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Literally straight out of Matrix.
You've got some vinyl things.
No, I actually don't think I do. I think I keep buying it and sending it back. But it's definitely, I'm into it. I've bought some amazing vinyl trousers, which are really cool.
Are they easy to sit down in? I feel like they're easy to sit down in.
They're easy to move in, but they just sound. You just literally hear that plastic sound a lot.
Are they really hot as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like leather. Pascal.
But waterproof as fuck, right?
Really waterproof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Didn't think so. Let's also chat about what to wear to a winter wedding. We put 10 different looks together on the site to give you all the inspo you need if you are heading to some wintry nuptials. Anyone's top tips for getting ready for a winter wedding? Astrid, what do you tend to veer towards at this time of year?
I can't say I've been to that many winter weddings. I can only remember one, and it was like in October, so it wasn't that cold. Long sleeves.
That's
a
practical tip.
A suit. Suits always look cool at weddings, I think. Mm. Especially if it's an evening event. My main thing about weddings is just like be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's in a church or, I don't know, like the crowd, like just make sure you're respectful to the people whose wedding it is. It's not really about you. Mm-hmm. It's about you being appropriate to the occasion. So yeah, maybe wear a suit. A bit warmer.
Nice.
That's a good idea.
Heather, Pascal?
I've been to 2 winter weddings, but as a bridesmaid and quite a long time ago, didn't like either of my outfits, and both of them featured one of those fucking horrible sort of feathery, fluffy bolero things, I was just like, when do I ever wear anything like this? I look fucking horrid. It's just... Yeah,
people love a feather in winter.
No, but why? Like, what's the point? We're not in Russia. It's just like a strip. It doesn't even cover you up. It's like, let's put you in a strapless dress in December, but if you wear this sort of tied fluff thing, you'll
be fine.
You won't be cold. So yeah, I haven't really enjoyed either of those looks. Another of my friends is getting married next November. And I'm the only bridesmaid, so I'm kind of allowed to go with what I want. That's but nice. I'm thinking again, long sleeves, but not a long dress.
A closed shoe as well.
Yes,
definitely. People often forget that how cold you get when you're wearing sandals.
Yeah.
And your feet get cold as well.
And there's still a lot of standing around outside, even...
old drafty churches
And
stuff
exactly.
Like that.
No, I think that's a good shout.
Pascal, what about you?
I don't really know. Like, I guess, like, my main thing would be what to wear on top of a dress that's appropriate.
A nice coat.
boat.
Yeah.
For the church, anyway. Yeah. But not like a, what are those things that mother-in-laws wear, like a coat dress?
Yes, certainly not. No. Fairy Carol.
Oh, yeah. And Camilla.
Yes, exactly. You need a coat, but also I find getting the length of the coat right with an evening dress also really difficult.
Oh, yes. If the dress is hanging out the bottom.
The worst look. So you need to go for a coat that crops on your hips.
Yeah.
Even shorter or longer.
Yeah. I love that kind of I've borrowed my boyfriend's tux look, just draped over the shoulders, and there's so many amazing oversized blazers and tux blazers around at the moment. So,
and also having just like one really good evening blazer in your wardrobe, like, will stand you in really good stead. You can wear that forever. There are so many fabulous evening trends to embrace at this time of year, which I feel like you really can't wear any other time of year, and also you can't really wear in your day-to-day life as well. Like, there's so much velvet and sequins and you know, and different textures and fabrics, and that's all very well, you know, that all the brands are selling that, but like, it's not that appropriate for like your office job. So if you've got a winter wedding, that's the perfect opportunity to embrace all of that. I actually bought a sparkly suit this weekend for an engagement party. I'm actually wearing trousers today.
Yeah,
with trainers and a white t-shirt. If you do love all that fun festive fashion, a winter wedding is a perfect time to pull it off. And it doesn't have to be before Christmas, January. Great. Well, on that note, I think that's all we've got time for this week. If you enjoyed that, please do rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.